You just tuned in to Set for Success with Richard Lannan, your host, but you knew that already, didn't you? And we're going to continue that journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, or your life. We're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time. So we can cover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. You know what? I'd like you to say that right now. I deserve to be successful. You do. Even the person next to you does also. So you know anything, you know I love quotes. I'd like to start off the show with a quote. So here's our Set for Success quote today. You don't start out writing good stuff. You start out writing crap and thinking it's good stuff. And then gradually it gets better at it. That's why I say one of the most valuable traits is perseverance. Now that quote actually comes from Octavius Butler. Now Octavius Butler is an African-American science fiction author. A multiple recipient of the Hugo and Nebula Awards. She became the first, in 1995, the first science fiction writer to receive the MacArthur's Fellowship. Butler was born in California, and after her father died, she was raised by her widow mother. Everyone has a book in them, a story that can tell about their life, the life of somebody else, a fiction character, or a book about what they do. Think about it for a moment. A skill, an experience, how they created their own success, or maybe how they survived the tragedy of their life. It amazes me the volume of literature available to consume, to make part of your own life experience through the consumption of the written word. But it starts out with an idea by a person who's willing to put pen to paper and open up and share the world around them. For some people, writing a book, an article, a letter is a scary experience. As they place pen to paper or begin to type on their keyboard, their minds go blank. They tremble at the very thought of creating something from nothing. But writing is like anything else in life. It's a skill that you can acquire. If you can learn to cook, repair a car, play hockey, or learn your job, you can learn to write, to follow a system, an approach to get your thoughts, your words captured. For you, your family, or for the world around you to read. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wondered who could come in and share their thoughts on writing a book and maybe various approaches that can be used to write a book also. Maybe tell us a little some stories about the different books that they've helped people to write. Someone who has worked in capturing the very essence of people's lives through the written word. So I'd look forward to chatting with her person today, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Les Klecky on Set for Success today.
Great to be here and great to be back, Richard. I always appreciate these little chats and look forward to sharing a few stories.
I think it's probably a really good idea. You have been on the show before, and we've actually talked many times we've been on the show about the type of work that you do. And so maybe we'll back it up a little bit just so our listeners know a bit about what you do. I believe at this point in your life, you're a writing coach and you do work with a number of people in helping them put their books together.
Absolutely. I work full-time as a book coach. I help people write their books, and I work with 12 people a year. That allows me to get involved with their books. It's not a writing class. I work with individuals to help them find the story and give them the story in an outline so that they can actually write their own books. I have in the past written my own books. I've ghost-written books. But I find that working with people that allows them to write their own books is much more rewarding for them.
Oh, okay, I can see it. Because I guess they have an invested interest in the actual written word. And I wanted to speak to this. And I know we're going to talk about some of the books that you've actually helped people write. But in my monologue, I said, you know, listen, writing a book is a system. If you can learn to repair a car, if you can learn to follow a recipe, and you correct me if you do not agree with what I'm saying, you should be able to learn, in working with the right person, learn how to actually put a book together.
Absolutely. And when I explain my system, which, you know, we'll get into in the next couple of minutes, but when I explain my system to people, the most asked question is, how do you know that system is going to work for me? How do you know that you'll be able to apply that to me? And my answer is, well, it's worked for the previous 63 people that I've worked with. I think it'll work for you. And after the next one, it's worked for the next 64. For the last 64 people, I think it'll work for you. So that number is up and running. But at this point, it's 63 people. I think it'll work for you.
There you go. And so there's a track record is what you're basically telling me. It's actually putting things together.
It's what you said. Anybody can learn to write a book. I provide them with a system and help them find the information that they want to plug in.
So out of curiosity, without getting into your present projects, okay, I know that you've been doing this for a while. Sorry, let's go back there. How long have you been a writing coach?
7 years.
7 years. Okay, what did you do prior to that?
Ghost road books.
Yeah, okay.
Prior to that, I wrote my own books. So I wrote 7 or 8 of my own books on travel and international business. Then I ghost wrote a dozen books and then developed this system and became a writing coach.
Became a writing coach.
But prior to that,
yeah.
I spent 15 years in radio.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's where I honed the skill. Because as Malcolm Gladwell says in The Outliers, to learn a skill, you have to spend about 10,000 hours to master a skill. I spent 15 years in radio having a news magazine show where I did 4 interviews a day that were ready for the noontime spot. So I spent my 10,000 hours learning how to ask questions. And that is what I bring to the book coaching business.
It's interesting that you would say that because I often on my show, I like to share back and forth. And recently I had an experience where I had to give a 2.5 minute speech, right? And people looked and said, well, how are you going to do a 2.5 minute speech? But I write about 52 monologues a year, right? And so going back to that whole honing thing, now before I started writing monologues, I had no idea how to write a monologue, you know? But I've learned that it's a system that you can apply that, you know what, you write X number of words, you know roughly, oh, that's about 2.5 minutes. And so I suspect it's sort of the same idea.
Absolutely. And we target, with my clients, we target a 50,000 word book, and that's 25 chapters of 2,000 words each. I know how the outline works, and I know where we have to go with an interview to get enough material to write a 2,000 word chapter. The previous experiences are what I bring to you with your first book.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I suspect that you've actually written or have helped people write books on many, many, many topics. Can you give us sort of a checklist of topics that you've probably helped people with?
Let's go back one further as to more than the topics as to why do people write books?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
People write books because they want to leave a legacy. So I've written, helped people write their biographies. People want to write books as a business book. Some people that work in the consulting field want a book that gives them the credibility of having a book and that they can use as a part of their business platform. Those are the two things that I thought would bring clients. One that caught me by surprise is the cathartic aspect. People want to write books for the healing part of it.
Personal healing.
To tell the story. Might never publish, might not even have an intent of ever publishing it, but they want to write the books to go through the healing process. And I have a number of clients who are writing the second and the third book simply for cathartic reasons. But those are the three main, to leave a legacy, to help them with business,
and for personal healing.
Cathartic for the personal healing.
So what we'll do, Les, when we come back, you know what, I'd really like you to share some of those stories, some of the people that you've worked with in terms of writing a book, and the types of lessons learned that come from that. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Les Klucke, and we're talking about being a writing coach and the idea of working with various people. So just before the break, Les, I said, you know, well, why don't you tell us about, you know, some of the books that you've written on and maybe, and give us some details. So let me start here. You said there's three reasons why people write books. One is for business purposes. One is for legacy. And the other is more for healing purposes. And so those are, I think, pretty much everybody could sort of relate to that in some way, shape, or form, because everybody has a story. You know, wouldn't you agree with that? Everybody has a story in them?
Everybody has a story, and about 80% of the population say that they want to write a book.
Yes.
It's much less than 4% that actually do. But about 80% of the population, when you talk to them, say, hey, I'd like to write a book.
I'd like to write a book. It's like that invention that you're going to make millions off of. Oh, I got an idea.
Absolutely. You know,
and they never
follow through is so much more difficult than the idea.
It's very difficult. And being an author, so I'm willing to share this from the other perspective. So maybe this would be good for our listeners because I have written a book. And I've contributed to other books. So we can say that I have something, some experience here. My first book took 2 years. So, I mean, it's from the beginning to the end. When I say 2 years, it didn't take 2 years to write. I think I probably wrote it in less time because I know you helped me write it. But by the time you go from the beginning, the idea, to the laying it out and to writing it, and we're going to get into some of the ideas in just a moment, but then by the time you get it edited and you go through the drawings and you go
It should take eight months.
And mine took 2 years.
Okay. I believe that a book should take 8 months and you'd have a book on the shelf.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right in that the editing and the working, I believe that you should be able to write the manuscript in 6 months. That's what I do with my clients.
Okay.
We write a chapter a week for 25 weeks. So that's roughly 4 months, a month for editing.
Yeah.
And another month to go through the design and the print. Now, to make it work in that tight a time frame, it can't be an entirely linear process. While we are finishing up on the writing, say that we're around chapter 17 or 18, I recommend that people find their editor and find an editor that they can work with, find the right person that makes the book read the way they want it to, keeps their own voice, yet polishes it with the content and the grammar and does the line edit. And at the same time, you should start to look at what you want your book to look like. Because if you leave it till that last minute, all of a sudden your designer phones you and says, okay, I'm ready to do your design. Do you want your page numbers on the bottom or the top? Do you want your page numbers in the middle or on the outside? Do you want your chapter name on the top of each page? Do you want the book title name on each page? Do you want to start your chapter at on the right-hand page every time? Do you want to go a third of the way down? Do you want to start with a drop capital?
There's lots to decide.
And those things are just a little overwhelming when your designer says, well, I'm doing this tomorrow, so let me know. So what I recommend is also somewhere along the way, you start to go to bookstores or libraries and look for books that you physically like so that you know the way that you want your book to look. And then you can give the designer some idea. Because just as you said at the top of the show, you have to have some copy there so that you can develop that crap into a real book.
Yeah.
You have to have some ideas so that the designer can make a good-looking finished project. When you call her and say, I want you to design a cover, if you don't give her any ideas, she doesn't know where she's going.
Yeah.
So let's try to make their job as easy as possible and do some homework beforehand.
Yeah, so try to get it all done within the 8 month period that you're recommending.
It takes you 6 to write it, a month to edit, and a month for the design and to have hard copies of the book.
Yeah. Now, you don't do any of the other stuff, right? Just so that we're clear, you don't do any design, you don't do any of the editing, you don't get involved in
those have
kind of...
2 or 3 people that I work with and recommend to my clients so that when somebody is done with their manuscript, I don't walk away and leave them saying, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I try to find an editor for them or someone that works well with them. And same thing in the design stage so that they have someone to work with. And I have 2 or 3 people, depending on the type of book it is and the content. Is who I will recommend to those clients.
All right. I mean, especially considering what you were saying before about having really 3 different distinctions between the types of books people write, which I find is fascinating.
One of my editors, who I recommend a number of clients to, is the retired editor of a big business magazine. So if somebody is writing a business book and has a lot of economics in it, I recommend that they give him a call
because
that's his area of expertise and he can work well with that. I have another editor who does a lot of my books, is a retired school teacher, and she's great on the softer skills, and just a real stickler on editing the details and checking. And as a matter of fact, I mean, how much do I rely on an editor? Sometimes when the copy comes back from her, I say, "Wow, I can't believe that I wrote this. This is really good. I'm really happy with this." And she says, "You didn't, but that's what you wanted to say."
Yeah.
So it's a pretty close working relationship with your editor.
Yeah, no, I know the difference between content editor and copy editor, and I've worked with both, and I've worked with awesome editors also, because I too write a lot, so I get to share this on the show, and it's not just in books, but in articles and all sorts of stuff. And you know what? I sometimes write stuff, and I only have 30 minutes to write it, so because it's deadlines, right? And I don't have time to go through the editing cycle. And so having a really great editor makes a huge difference, because they go and polish it. And you get this back. You're right. You have that experience. I wrote this. I got to go back and look at the original and going, well, hold on here. You know, but they capture the very essence of what you were trying to say.
She's a lifesaver for me. Yeah. And she has called in a few favors, too, when she needed something with a short turnaround. And she always gets the favors when she asks me.
Of course.
That's the way it goes.
What we're going to do is take a short break and get back to the topic that I wanted to talk about with some of the interesting stories that you've actually worked on. This is Richard for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Les Klucke today, and we're talking about the whole idea that everybody has a book in them and there's a process to actually writing. So the first two segments, I think we went a little bit deep in terms of the approach and everything, and even Les corrected me a little bit in terms of the timeline of writing a book, and that's all cool, because I think everybody has a book in them, and maybe there's something here. I'm curious, you know, the beginning segment, we talked specifically about the whole idea of people write business books, they write legacy books, they write healing books. So I'm going to put them into those three categories. And Les, I think it'd be really great if you could share in maybe in some depth and some stories a little bit about some of the books you've worked on out of those categories. And can you tell us a little bit maybe of a book that you're working on presently or just finished up or something that would be appropriate that you can talk about?
Well, and it seems strange that it'd be a hockey book, that it's a business book. But I just finished up in March with Josh Pauls, who is the captain of the U.S. sledge hockey team. This is the Paralympians, and he's making the transition to becoming a motivational speaker. So this is, in fact, a business book, and he uses hockey examples. It is not a hockey book. It is a business book that uses his experience from hockey as examples. Josh is 26 years old, 3-time gold medalist at the Paralympics, 4 times world champion, and captain of the U.S. team that just won the world championships in March. This is a man that was born without shin bones and had his legs amputated above the knee at 10 months old.
Wow.
And has to be, and I want to be careful how I say this in terms of I don't want to sound negative to any of my other clients, but had to be the funniest guy I have ever worked with. And his stories were absolutely amazing.
Are you able to share a story or anything that comes to mind?
Have to. The first story he tells, okay, chapter one, he tells a story about he was an active little guy. And so, and he only knew not having legs.
Oh, sure.
So when his mom would go to buy new shoes, he would have prosthetics, and he would run around too much. So mom didn't want to take him in the store. So mom would make him stay in the car, take off his prosthetics, and make him stay with his dad while she went into the store to buy his shoes. Now, he says that when they're fitting prosthetics, it doesn't matter if they pinch a little bit. So mom would buy cheap shoes, squeeze them on, and bring back his legs. But he had to wait in the car while she was buying his shoes.
Oh, wow.
And he shares that story. Another one later on is about how to deal with these kind of challenges in life. And he tells the story that he's at a celebrity hockey game. He gets invited to a number of celebrity games. And He's at this celebrity hockey game and dealing with a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. He names him in the book, but yeah. A member of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And Josh goes to him and says, "Hey, you know that move where you're stick handling and you drop the puck back into your skates and kick it back up?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." And Josh says, "I'm having a little trouble with that. Can you teach me that?" And he says the guy is too surprised. He doesn't know how to deal with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's just his way of dealing with things.
Wow. Wow. Very sounds like a very interesting man overall.
Funny stories, but a lesson in every chapter. And that's so important to keep the reader reading. That's one of the things that I insist on, is that every chapter has to finish with a lesson that the reader can use as early as tomorrow, because that's what keeps them reading. So every chapter finishes with something you can use as early as tomorrow.
When you use Josh as the example here, can you think of a lesson learned from some of those stories? Does anything pop out that would be a lesson learned out of some of those?
Second funniest story is, you know, his mom taking his legs off to go buy his shoes.
Yeah.
But about the lesson that when you're hot, you're going to have a fall. Things do not go that well.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So he tells a story that he's at the World Championships in Czechoslovakia and scores 4 goals in one game. He is the hottest thing in sledge hockey. And sledge hockey, for you might not know, is typically a 1-0, 2-1 game. But he gets 4 goals in one game. So he is on top of the world. He's the captain of the U.S. team. But he gets the flu. And so he spends the night in the washroom of his hotel, and it's horrible.
Mm.
But he goes on, he takes a day off, and then the general manager comes to him and says, "We're playing the Russians, final game, you have to dress."
Yeah, yeah.
And Josh says he dresses, and of course then he's got to go out because he's the captain of the team. And he goes on and comes across the blue line, and happens to hit a Russian. And now, in his words, the Russians are always big men. So he hits this guy, and it's like hitting a stump. And as you can imagine, this is a guy with an upset stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has a slight accident in his bucket.
Oh, really?
And he says, "So just so that you know, when you think you are the hottest thing on earth, there's a fall coming."
There's a fall. You get knocked down just a little bit.
He says that was a very humiliating experience. And that's what, and so he says to be prepared that when you think you're too good, well, something is going to happen.
Something's going to slop you down a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, those are life lessons, right? The things that
and that's what he teaches throughout his book. And he, every chapter has a lesson like that he uses a hockey example to tell you about the attitude that you need.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like this particular book would not just be for a business person. I mean, I understand there's business lessons in it, but it sounds to me like there's also life lessons in it too, right? That somebody who's interested in sports could be reading this, or somebody's in, even a kid, a younger kid.
It's targeted
in sports.
It's targeted at high school people.
High school kids,
His market is he wants to speak to high schools and tell them about the challenges in life, and that you just have to be ready to work hard and attack everything, because you're dealt the hand you are, and carry on with it, and just think about doing the best.
Out of curiosity, how did you meet this young man?
Well, I worked with a lady named Sammy Jo Small, who was the goaltender for the Canadian women's hockey team, who happens to be married to Billy Bridges, who is on the Canadian sledge hockey team, and worked with a fellow from the Canadian sledge hockey team who came about through Billy Bridges, and the fellow on the Canadian team recommended me to the fellow on the American
team. It's like that seven degrees of separation.
So somehow I got into the hockey world, and particularly in the sledge hockey business, and it went from there.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I think it'd be great to maybe get another story from you from another author you've worked with. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. We're all back here with Les Kleckke, and if you've been listening in, we just got a great sort of hockey sledge story in terms of somebody he's worked with and developing a book. You know, Les, the thing I want to do was give you the opportunity to talk a bit about some of the authors you worked with and their stories that they have. And I'm really sort of open which way you go on this one. So I'm going to let you choose, because you've done 63 books now, I think it is. So really, you know, who else have you worked with, and what's the story there?
Well, the sledge hockey story, you know, we finished with a bit of a humorous story. One very serious book that I'm working with is a lady that is writing her book right now about leaving an abusive relationship.
Okay, so this sounds to me like one of those cathartic or healing books that you were mentioning.
Absolutely, absolutely. And she talks about the fear that she went through, and she's doing this for herself, but she's also doing it to help people that might be in that situation and to prepare them for the things that they go through when they leave an abusive relationship.
Well, it'd be a very difficult thing to do. I mean, any literature that I've read, even programs I've watched that talk about abusive relationships, is the person always tends to, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe the story's in her book, they tend to go back to it. They don't tend to.
No, that's not in this book. That's the second book that she's writing. Her first book, and she has committed to writing three books.
Okay.
The first book is about leaving an abusive relationship.
Okay.
The second book is about falling into the trap again, and that we tend to get into those type of relationships, and she's already outlined that, what the story is going to be. And her third book will be the rebuilding and a new life and a new career, and how positive that can be.
So it's a trilogy, in essence. It's like a trilogy. That's amazing. Yeah. So are you able to share with us a story from one of her books or the outlines?
Well,
or
we're
the
working
books
on the first book right now, and the thing that keeps coming up is about the network that she has and the people that support her,
okay.
I haven't had that experience, so I learn a lot from working with her. And she says that going through this, moving out of an abusive relationship and physically moving to a new place, the network that develops and the community around you in the new place, and these people have been in difficult situations themselves, and how they looked out for her. And her recommendation, the biggest single recommendation in this book, is about having a network and having that in place, a support network that helps you get through it and that you can turn to when you have those difficult days, which you will have, wondering if you did the right thing.
It's interesting you'd say that, because I learned that valuable lesson from my wife, actually, because I often joke and say, when I married my wife, I actually married five women. So in other words, I married my wife, her sisters, and my mother-in-law, right? But they're super tight, and they have an incredible support network, and I think that's what makes them strong. And to hear you say that coming out of a book with a very difficult topic, I mean, having witnessed a support network in the works over many years, decades, I could see the importance of that.
The interesting thing about this situation is that her family didn't support her. She called her mom and asked about coming home, and mom said, no, you can't come home. You've made your bed, now lie in it.
You got married and you stay married.
And you stay married.
Very traditional, very traditional view of the world.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so she talks about the network that she had. And in looking back at it, I think she feels now that her family probably would have supported her, but she decided to go it without calling on her family, without calling on her sisters and her mother. And she had a community around her. Mm. And not relations by any means, but the lady next door kind of people, or the landlord in a Manitoba housing project. that really helped her. So she talks about, you know, the different networks and where you find support.
That's really important. So to me, that right away, the first book is providing a lot of lessons learned life-wise. And I like the idea of and even when you outlined it, the first to the second, which was more of a, what do you call it? When is it a color ricochet or when you go back into something that you've gotten out
so
of?
So that you don't find a rebound relation.
Rebound
and,
relation.
And then it gets into exactly the same thing.
Type of thing. And then the third one, really rebuilding who you are. Because that sounds to me like it's like discovering who you are.
And creating who you are, deciding who you want to be, and then following the path, you know, in education and getting a better job and all of the things that, you know, from those very humble beginnings, she now has her own house and a great career job.
Awesome. During the break, we had the opportunity to talk about some other unique things you're involved in. And you mentioned that you're working on a book from Ethiopia. Like, how do you end up with a book in Ethiopia? And what is that all about?
It's a farmer from Ethiopia.
Okay, so how do you meet a farmer from Ethiopia?
You go to Regina to Farm Progress Show, and he had a shopping list.
Okay. All right.
He was there to buy combines and grain handling equipment.
Okay. Regina,
Farm Progress. Western Canadian grain handling show. I happened to be there to do a couple of newspaper stories. And we got talking. I was asking him about his shopping list and what he was looking for. And he told me, you know, he was combines and grain handling equipment and that he farmed in Ethiopia. And during the course of the discussion, I asked him about, you know, how big the farm was and if Canadian equipment would fit. And he said that Ethiopian agriculture is going through a real revitalization and a change in attitude and moving to bigger equipment and that kind of thing. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I bet you know, have you ever thought about writing a book about it? And
of course you did.
Because that's what I ask
people,
right?
That's what you do, of course.
And he said, yes, I have, but I don't have time right now to do that. And I explained my system to him, you know, how we could write a book in 6 months. So, in fact, we are starting this week on the book about Ethiopian agriculture, the transition that it's going through, and the cultural changes. Because the first change that they had to make was that Ethiopian farmers typically thought about growing enough food for themselves.
Yes.
And the concept of growing more for trade and helping other people or selling to other people, trading for other items, is a brand new concept that they are just learning and adjusting to in their production practices.
I would also think, based on Ethiopia, in the sense of the overall media or the sense of the common thinking pattern, most people probably wouldn't put large agriculture and Ethiopia together.
Nor did I. That's why I asked him, how's Canadian equipment going to fit?
Yeah.
And he said that these small land holdings go together in cooperatives.
Yeah.
And it's not Western Canada. Each farmer will not have their own combine or two. In fact, it'd be the other way, that a cooperative will own a combine and might harvest for
several
30
family.
People.
Yeah.
So it's back to the 1930s and threshing crews in Western Canada. That's a concept that we understand.
Sure.
Their agriculture is developing.
Yeah. We have co-ops today that actually help out the farmers and still exist. Granted, they've matured, and adjusted in many ways. But that goes right back to like the 30s, where our agriculture system used to be.
So his book is telling that story, intended to help Ethiopian farmers understand the concept of how they can do that, how cooperatives can work, and the role of women in agriculture, that they're not just there to work in the field, that they're pretty good decision makers too.
Oh, wow. So that is a whole cultural shift. That's amazing, because basically with what you just shared, I mean, obviously you talked about your system and that, right? But you've also talked about working with a hockey player and the stories there and a person in an abusive relationship and the stories there. But then also the whole agriculture, like changing a whole culture and how you think in terms of how you develop a number of things. Les, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing this? What's the best way to connect with Les Klecky?
Les, the book coach, at gmail.com. spent a lot of money on the marketing and developing that name. I sound a lot like Harry the Gold Guy on late night TV, you remember him. So it's pretty simple. Yeah. Les, the book coach, all one word, @gmail.com.
There you go. Nice and simple. Les, thank you for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. You're awesome guest. You know, and as for our listeners, if you got any questions, a thought, an idea about the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.